So with this recitation, first things we want to create our right motivation by thinking that for the benefit of other sentient beings, we must achieve the highest attainment, such as the Buddhahood. For that purpose, I wanted to learn this holy Dharma. After learning, also that I wanted to practice of Dharma, best of my ability. So thinking that one is as a requirement for that receiving and also the practice of Dharma. With these, today we wanted to learn about the remembrance of the good qualities of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And this is also the very important sutra, because that to be as the Buddhist, that the single most important is that the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, and then also that is the object of our refuge, to whom we are relying on them. And so when we rely upon this, the object of refuge as the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, it is also the important to know some part of their infinite positive qualities. As we learn some more of the positive qualities, then we will also that increase our devotion and trustness in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And the more we trust in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, we will get more in the higher and better experience and realization. So for this purpose, that they chant this sutra in every monastery, and then also that the very first in the monastery, early in the morning, they chant this one. The explanation of this one has that basically four different parts. The first one is the name of this sutra. Second one is that prostration which made by the translators. And the third one is the meaning of the text. And fourth one is conclusion, as that completion of the sutra. And out of this, the first one, came from the India in Sanskrit language. So Sanskrit, the title, the name of this sutra is known as Arya Ratnatara. Anu Smriti Sutra. And that one was translated in Tibetan, Pogpa Kunchosum Jisitem Bendo. And when we translated, this one is in English. the Noble Sutra, or for remembrance of the good qualities of that three jewels. So that's the one. And so when we explain that one, word by word, Arya means noble, noble or holy ones. Ratna, in Sanskrit, Ratna is jewel. So the jewel is referred to that three jewels, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And Triya, so means Triya, means three. Three jewels, Arya Ratna Triya, and Anu means subsequently. Anu, Smriti, and remember, the good qualities of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And the Sutra is that category of the Sutra, within in Sutra. So that's the title. And then when they translated these texts, that numerous texts that are translated in Tibetan language, and then the translators, they pay homage to different Sutra, and has the different homage. But in here, that's a prostration to the ominous Zen one. So that's the one is that translators, they edit that one. So they made the prostration and homage to the Buddha, who has that infinite good quality, and then omniscient teacher. So they knows everything entirely and exactly without having any obscuration of their knowledge. So therefore, it is paying homage to the Buddha itself. Then, the Bhagwan Buddha, Bhagavan Buddha, who is the Tathagata Arahat, completely and perfectly Buddha, possessor of awareness and base, so that one. Bhagavan, that loves as means basically, it is thus. So it is going to explain that it basically good qualities of that Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So now it's the actual meaning of the text is begin from here. So that has three: remembrance of the good qualities of Buddha, remembrance of the good qualities of Dharma, remembrance of the good qualities of the Sangha. So these three are that the three remembrance ones it explains. Out of this, the first one, if we explained briefly, and it is saying that loss means it is thus, as a following. And then Bhagwan Buddha, when the Bhagwan is the Bhagavati or Bhagwan in Sanskrit, a name. Why it is saying that the Bhagwan is that the teacher, unsurpassable teacher, who showed the path of the path to the living beings, path of liberation, higher rebirth and the liberation to the sentient being. So therefore, that is known as the Bhagwan Buddha. And well known that the general, the title of the Bhagwan Buddha, that's the Sanskrit name. And then Tathagata means for their own purpose that they are comprehendingly realize the all the nature of every phenomena exactly and entirely. So because of that, it is known as that Tathangata. Tathangata means das gun. Previous the Buddha, whatever they have reached to, the same way that all the Buddhas are also the rich in that same level, so realize the suchness perfectly. So that's the known as the Tathangata. And Arahat means Arahat. literally, translation Arahat is that who destroyer that the enemy or the four destroyer. So there are that four different types that the enemy, which is called the demons. First one is that the demon of the defilement. Second one is demon of aggregates. Third one is demon of lord of death. And then fourth one is called demon of son of Deva. So these are that four different types, the demon which hinder that living beings unable to reach that level of liberation. So since the Buddha is completely conquered and subjugated that one, so therefore it is known as the Arahat. So who destroyed these four different types of the demons. In short way, it is saying that the Bhagavan Buddha, who has abandoned every negativities, including the propensities, and also the realize that every knowledge and the knowledgeable perfectly and entirely. So because of that, it is also saying that perfectly and completely Buddha, complete Buddha. Buddha, generally Buddha means those who realize that the ultimate nature, which is because of the event that every negativities and the ignorant. It is like the awakening from the ignorant. And also fully develop the intellect, intelligence upon that all phenomena. So therefore, the Buddha has the two different meaning. One is that the abandonment of the negative side. The other one is the development of a positive side. So who has that the good quality of abandoning every negative aspect, and then also that who develop every positive qualities. So that is known as that Buddha. Then possessor of awareness and base. Now these are that different explanations have that are different means. And here, and one explanation, awareness and base means awareness or who see, is that among the Eightfold Noble Path, the first one is that right view, who have perfectly seen the true nature of reality, which is right view. So because of that, it's the same that the possessor of awareness. And base means the rest of other seven is as the base of that awareness. So that's the one way of explanation. The other explanation is also the explained. Awareness refers that insight, vipassana. So that perfectly seen and realized the vipassana. And then the base is refers to shamatha. Shamatha means the karma abiding. With having the karma abiding, then it sees that insight. So because of that karma abiding is as the base, and then insight is the awareness. So that's another way of explanation. Or the other explanation also they explained. That Buddha have seen or aware all these previous that part, such as the prior, then the no more learning, that the, any of those ones clearly remember as the recall. So that's the one, and also the for the future. Can see at the transference of that death and birth for all futures. So that's seeing the future sense. And also the presently aware that the completely exhaustion of that all the contamination or the defilement. So because of that, three types of awareness is known as awareness. And then possess of a base means it refers to four miracle lakes. possess of the four miracle the lakes of meditation of the or for limitlessness. So these awareness and base has that numerous explanations about that. So that's general. And then then next one is that I think complain. I think that this one is Sungata. Sungata, Tathangata and Sungata generally same, but Sungata means for those who reach to that unsurpassable result based on that happiness path. By abandoning that the two extreme of the nihilism, extreme of eternalism, with abandoning that, then also that maintaining upon that blissful path and the reach to the result blissful. So that one is called Sungata. Tathangata or Sungata. And then next one, what did it say? The world knower means Buddha knows each and every sentient being. How are they have that suitable to individual part, and also the which sentient being is declined, and which sentient being has that some more difficult, which sentient being is need to be tamed, time of that need to be tamed. These and each and every sentient being precisely seen. Without having any obscuration. So because of that, it is known as the world knower. And then also the next one, charioteer who hymns, the beans. Hereafter is so because of the Buddha has the infinite compassion. Based on this compassion, then never pass that time to tame that the different sentient beings in the different part, which one is suitable to which part. So in this way, that they constantly liberating the sentient beings from that the different state of fear, the different type of life, and so therefore it is that known as that the chariot who tame the being. That means the method of taming sentient being is not like that kings tamed that subject with applying that their rule of the nation's law and put the punishment, not like that way, but it is applying in the state of happiness. Inexhaustible happiness comes from practice of that spiritual path, which abandoning that the two extremes, and then also the no one is giving up as of on the spiritual path. For example, excessive type of the defilements, such as that the Buddha's time there is excessive of attachment, is that the Buddha's younger brother, Nanda, and the excessive of anger is the Angulimala, and the excessive of the pride is Nanda Kashapa, and the excess of ignorant is known as the litter path. I don't know exactly Sanskrit name. So these are also that not giving up, and they bring into the path, and also the eventually they gained experience and realization. In this way, that none of those sentient beings in the samsara giving up all that abandoning from the compassion. So because of that, it is also the called unsurpassable one. Then teacher of God and man, Bhagwan Buddha, which the Bhagwan Buddha, that is the title, and then also the spiritual teacher of every sentient being. Particularly mentioned that in the two types of the sentient being, human and deva, because of those two are that one who have more positive that can arise that good experience and realization within in their mind among those other sentient beings. So because of that, it is known as that teacher of deva, of the God and human being. And of course, it is also that not excluded any other sentient being. It's also that teacher of every sentient being. So that's the one. It's say. And then Bhagwan Buddha, which is accomplishing that two purpose. One's on the purpose, reach to the highest the realization as the Buddha Dharmakaya, and also the purpose of other sentient beings who are the appear that like the Rupakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya, which is constantly benefiting for that other sentient being's purpose. So because of that, it is known as that Bhagwan Buddha. Tathangata, that has right course of merit. So from here up to there is that the brief, the explanation of the infinite qualities of the Buddha. But here, somewhat, some detail. From here, it is explained some more detail. And so, Tathangata, that has the right course of merit. That Tathangata has the right course of merit means that for the purpose of other sentient beings, Buddha has infinite compassion. Out of the infinite compassion, generate that limitless accumulation of merit heap, and then accomplish that merit heap, reach to that Buddha's Rupakaya, that highest form of that Buddha, which is that right course of merit. Tathangata, that right course of merit means from generate from the compassion, and then accomplish the accumulation of merit heap, reach it to that the level of a Buddha's Rupakaya. So that is that one saying, that the right course of merit. And then also unwasted root of virtues. That merit is also not like that ordinary beings that merit. Merit, when they accumulated merit due to that other cause and condition circumstance, it may produce that the result of merit, but it also that will be exhaustion. Not like that. And also that not like the Arahat and Pratyeka Buddhas, the merit, when they reach to that the level of non-remaining, that the aggregate does not function, not like that. But Buddha's the merit is the constantly increasing for that other beings' accumulation of merit and so forth until the end of space. And whatever the accumulations of merit accumulated on the base of Buddha, any of these root of virtues will not waste it. For example, even if we offer one flower aiming to the Buddha, then that continuously merit that will increase and eventually will become the cause of acute Buddhahood. So therefore, it is never wasted, the root of virtues aiming to the Buddha. So it is just like that if you drop one drop of water in the ocean, that drop of water will not evaporate until the entire the ocean is evaporated. Similarly, that if one accumulated merit heap on the aiming to the Buddha, and so that eventually lead to achieve that the highest goal as the Buddhahood. So therefore, it is saying that the unwasted root of virtues. Um, then the ornament of patience. That Buddha's, the Rupakaya, the actual Rupakaya is also the production or the result of the accumulation of merit heap. Among them, the patience is that the principal cause of achieved the Buddha's Rupakaya. So, by meditating the limitless of the patience, then achieve that perfectionness of the Buddha's Rupakaya, which has that the ornament of patience. So, physical perfectionness. That one is the result of the meditation of patience. And then also the base of merit treasure. That holy body is also arise from the limitless accumulation of merit and also base of increasing that immeasurable the merit. So because of that, it is known as that base of merit treasure. The treasure is supposed to be that something almost like that inexhaustible type that can be used. So similarly, on the Buddha's holy body is an inexhaustible type of merit. So that's why it is saying the base of merit of the treasure. And decorated by the noble signs. That holy body, Rupakaya, which has that decorate of noble marks, such as that noble signs, such as that the color of nails are like the copper color, and then also the many other ornaments. So because of that, it is saying that decorate by the noble signs. And the full blossom of a flower of exemplar mark, such as the Buddha's hand, palm, and also that the two legs, that the sole, there has the very clear design of the wheel, which has that 1,000 spokes, and also the unisha on the top of the head, and so forth. So, 32 major marks adorned on their holy body is known as the fully blossom of a flower, of an exemplar marks. Of course, if one wishes to know about this, there are the detailed explanation of these noble signs and exemplar marks, which in the different sutra and also the different commentaries explain that these are that very clear. But here are the things as the recitation. One do not have that much to think about the details, so it is at least they're good to remember these 32 type of the example of Marx and the 80 noble signs. So that's one. And then never behold disharmony, such as the holy body, when the other beings is seen, it does not occur any kind of the disharmony or the contradictory. And whoever seen the Buddha's holy body, and so it is naturally become to the very positive and enticing in their mind. Even the Buddha's statue, it also that has a tremendous benefit to behold. So because of that, it is a saying that never behold disharmony. Extremely delightful to be to the faithful. So that means basically when the people approaching toward the Buddha, there are the two different type of the people may approach to Buddha. One is that curiously seeing amazing holy body, or that it was forced by the previous the virtuous course, and naturally wish to come to see the Buddha, that's one. Or because of having developed strong faith to the Buddha, and then for the purpose of venerating and offering to come to in the presence of Buddha. And when they to come to there, they always make meaningful to even to seeing the holy body, and they also never could see any kind of the defect of the Buddha's the holy body, voice, and mind. And even just seeing Buddha, it also that said that it comes a tremendous great joy. Like that the person who are that enter into that the deep samadhi of meditation, great joy. Similarly, it is also that occur in their extremely delightful for that faithful one. So that's the one type of the people who comes as the positive ones. Then the second type of the people who comes as the some challenging, or that some wish to confrontate to come to the Buddha, in the presence of Buddha. So then it said wisdom, wisdom which cannot be outshone, power which cannot be treated upon. So these are that the ones when people comes to the presence of Buddha, and so it's Buddha's extremely dignified. It's just like that in the presence of the sun, others could not produce any light like the stars. So similarly, for those who are approaching to the Buddha, it completely outshone their wisdom, and could not even express that any word of challenging or that the criticism toward the Buddha. So that's the and then also Buddha has that Buddha's mind has that infinite compassion and limitless wisdom, and also it's peerless, and no one could challenge or come close to that. And also miracle, the power which has never declined. So because of that, the power which cannot be traded upon. Then next one is the teacher of all sentient beings, father of all bodhisattva, king of noble beings. Teacher of all sentient beings, as we also that already explained earlier, generally teach that the path of liberation, benefit and happiness for every sentient being, and especially for those human beings and deva who are that understand the meaning of dharma and then able to arise that the good qualities of path, experience and realization. So therefore, it's a teacher of all human beings and then devas. So that's the one. That also that explains more detail. It is saying that the father of all bodhisattva, the bodhisattva who are that consider the noble son of a Buddha, and so they are upholding that Buddha's dharma, and they also Buddha's followers, bodhisattvas, they were first generate the enlightenment thought, and then also they travel on the path of bodhisattva, and finally reach to that Buddhahood. In this way, leading from the very beginning and intermediate state, and at the end. So therefore, the Buddha is known as the father of all the bodhisattvas. And the king of noble beings means a noble being is referred that as the his disciple, such as Shariputra, who is that extremely intelligent, and Mongolana, who is that extremely powerful miracle. So these and then any of other noble beings are also their leader. So because of that, he is known as the king. King of all noble beings. captain of a traveler to the city beyond the suffering. due to the Buddha's noble activities, Buddha's become to that base of path and the path itself, and also the accomplishing that the path. So in this way, that is all sentient beings lead toward that higher rebirth and liberation, and then also the place in the three types of enlightenment: Arahat, Pratigya Buddha, and Samyak Sambuddha, and eventually lead toward the completely full Samyak Sambuddha, which is the city of joyful. So because of that, it's saying the captain and traveler the city beyond the suffering. And immeasurable primordial wisdom. So in order to lead these sentient beings to showing that path of liberation, Buddha has that infinite qualities and also the wisdom, which has that ordinary sentient beings cannot even think or in the measure about the Buddha's, the limit of Buddha's teaching and their path and word and their meaning. So because of that, it is known as that immeasurable primordial wisdom and inconceivable courage. So when they, having that type of the wisdom, which wishes to express for this sentient being, and then Buddha has also that perfect word and also the ability to express and to that even the Buddha and Bodhisattvas, which wish to express that the infinite qualities of the Buddha and their courage for the eons and their countless eons, it still will not be able to accomplish. So therefore, it is known as that inconceivable courage. And so up to there is that Buddha's generally the infinite positive qualities of the body. So I think today we will stop here and then also the think some part which you can find the explanation of the Buddha descriptions of the holy body where they explained in that sutra and the commentary. And also that some magazines and so forth, they explained about that a lot of things these days you can find it. So I would encourage you to learn some more about that in this week. And then next week continues from here about the infinite qualities of Buddha, which has the tremendous merit even when think all that is expressed about it. So with these I will conclude today's talk, and then if you have any questions I'd be happy to respond it. With these I will stop today.
Emil Kelsa, I'm just kind of, you were mentioning we look for the physical characteristics of the Buddha online.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
So is a Wikipedia a good source? I just,
probably,
you know.
They may have that one in Wikipedia, and they also, maybe in the, I don't know, that some of the books that they already translated, that they may have, but in the Madhyamika Avatara, which has also the quite detailed explanation of the major Noble Mark and example signs and those ones explained. And then also that recently the Melody of Dharma, in that Kimbabi Rinpoche explained this Semjinam Sevachi, the compassion upon that sentient being, which is explained by the Maitreya Bodhisattvas and Asangas. And that has explanation, has more detailed explanation by the Kimbabi Rinpoche. So that is, I think it is very good to look in source.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Kimbo, just maybe this is too complicated to explain right now, but I just, you know, the part where in the text it says, "Captain of travelers to the city of the joyful."
Mm-hmm.
Can we think of the city of the joyful also like a inner city? You know, like the, you know, like within our being. You know, like we, it's the other level. Like, you know, when you think about the channels and so on, almost like that we have a within us like a city where the
mm-hmm.
deities exist. And you know, when you think of the 100 peaceful and wrathful deities. Is that city joyful also because it's an inner experience? Can we think
mm-hmm.
of it like that?
I think that if you can have that something really some enticing city, that may be some other example. But here what it refers to the city of joyful means that in that place there does not have any cause of suffering and the cause of suffering. Suffering itself,
okay.
Like pain and pleasure, and the cause of suffering is karma, and cause of karma is the defilement. So wherever there is the place, such as like Sukhavati, Buddha Amitabha's realm, which does not have that, you know, the any kind of the suffering, and the full of bliss and joyful, that's the one basically is referring here, you know, that to lead in such a place where they do not have any kind of the dukkha or suffering, and the cause of suffering is karma. Cause of karma is that the defilement. Cause of defilement is the self-clinger. So with the exhaustion of this one, is that called the city of beyond suffering?
Ah, I see. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with this we will conclude today's. I will do some prayer with dedication.
Gewandie jewo gonsonam yeje dodo de sonam yeje lejonwe tamba gunye doba jo sonam de tamje zekba nye tamne nibe danam pamje jega nanje balam truba ye seben zolen rowa dowa sho njambar pabu jetaran jemba Kunde zambo de yan de yin de de da kunje jisa da lo jenge wan de da dam jirab de.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone.